dear Lord. I pray that you'll bless us now as we study from your word. I pray that our time together may be time together with you, and that we may be different than we came because of the uplifted Christ. In his name we pray, amen. The quotation is Adventist Home, page 15. The sweetest type of heaven is a home where the Spirit of the Lord presides. We don't have to wait for the sweet by and by. We can have the sweetest here and now. But the quotation continues, if the will of God is fulfilled, the will of God, the husband and wife will respect each other and cultivate love and confidence. The Holy Spirit presides. The will of God is fulfilled. There is respect. There's cultivation of love. It doesn't get any better than that in heaven. Notice the sweetest type of heaven is connected with doing the will of God. How can we know the will of God? And how can we do the will of God? Please consider a familiar text in this light. Matthew 7:21, I'm reading from the New King James Version. You may want to just take a look at it. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall what? Shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Who enters the kingdom of heaven? The one who does the will of the Father. Now, this is not simply talking about the kingdom of heaven in the future. Dear folk, only those who do the will of the Father will enter into the kingdom of heaven here and now, even though they may say, Lord, Lord. They can enter the kingdom of heaven now and enjoy the sweetest kind of heaven now by doing the will of the Father now. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Heaven, the sweetest kind of heaven, begins not now with doing the will of God in our homes, and it is those who do the will of God that he acknowledges as part of his family now in this time. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I ask again, what is the will of God? How do we know the will of God? How do we do it? Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, being wise. Jesus explained that doing the will of God and what it was with a story problem. Now, when I was in elementary school, we used to get story problems. You might have a story problem in math, or you might have a story problem in science. Little problem, and then a question related to the information in the story. Familiar story that Jesus gave, but it has some frequently overlooked details that I want us to note here to understand what the will of the Father is and how we can do it. It's the story of a family with a family-run viticulture business. Don't you like that word, viticulture? I didn't even know there was such a word as viticulture until I was studying this passage. Viticulture sounds like agriculture. Culture means growing, but viti means wine, vine. So this is vine growing or vineyard, caring for vineyards and growing grapes. And let's look at the story and its associated question, Matthew 21:28. But what do you think, Jesus asked? A man had two sons, And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. Verse 29, he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he regretted it and went. Matthew 21, verse 30, then he came to the second and said, Likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Verse 31, which of the two did the will of his father? That's the story problem. They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe him. Now let's just look at the parable story. How many people are mentioned, are the characters of Christ's parable story? Before you can really understand an answer to a story problem, you have to get the facts of the story problem, right? How many people do we have in this story problem? There were three. The father and his two sons. Who owns the vineyard in the story? The father. He calls it my vineyard. When the story begins, we see there's a problem immediately. What are the boys doing? Well, we're not told. All we know is what they're not doing. They're not working out in the father's vineyard. Perhaps they were still lying in bed. Maybe they were playing. Or perhaps they were working on their own pet projects and hobbies. But at the start of the story is either doing the will of the father. They're the sons, but neither are doing the will of the father. The story should have said, a certain man had two sons, and these sons came to their father early in the morning and said, Father, what would you like for us to do today? But that's not the story. The father has to go and find them. How unworthy both boys are to be in this family. But the father doesn't upbraid them. He's not harsh. He doesn't call attention to the fact that he is having to get them. How does the father address his children? Respectfully, gently. He says, Son. He acknowledges them as part of himself. And then he lets them know his will. Now, who does the father in this story represent? God the Father. Who were the sons? Now, some might say everyone in the world, but that's not entirely correct. At the very beginning of sin, Christ told the first parable in the Bible. And that's found in Genesis 3:15, and he says, I will put enmity between what? Thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So there are two families and seeds and descendants in this world. There is the seed of the woman, the family of God. And the other is the seed of the serpent, the family of the snake. And which group of people is Jesus talking about in this story problem parable? The seed of the woman. If God is the Father, it must be addressing those professing to be His children. Today that would be Christians. And what is the vineyard? This is plainly told in Isaiah 5:7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. In the instruction of Jesus' disciples, He said to them, Matthew 10:6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Work in my vineyard. This was the work that Jesus came to do. Matthew 15:24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What was the will of the Father for his two sons there in Matthew 21? The first word, the first verb was, Son, go. His will was for this son to go. Now, what's the opposite of go? Stay. They had two choices. They could either go or they could stay. But they were not simply to go. Where were they to go to? They were to go to a specific place. What specific place was that? my vineyard. My vineyard. And what were they to go and do in his vineyard? Work. Work. When were they to go? Today. Lots contained in that. How long were they to work in the vineyard? As long as it was today. As long as it was today. God gave his children their chores for the day. They were to work in the Father's vineyards. Were they to plant vines? Were they to water the vines? Were they to prune the vines? Were they to spray the insecticides on the vines? Were they to tie plants to the stakes? Were they to weed? Were they to harvest? Were they to cultivate? Were they to fertilize? Were they to dry grapes into raisins? Were they to press the grapes into grape juice? Were they to sell the grapes at the vineyard store? All that is encompassed in one word, what? Work in my vineyard. Different things, different times, different people, but one word, work in my vineyard. That story doesn't say you have to do this in the vineyard. It does say where to work and what they were to do. Work. It says that there was work in the vineyard that was needed now. Go work today in the vineyard. Now we know that God is the Father and we know that the sons are us as Christians. What did the boys do? What's the first thing the boys did? They talked. They could have just gone. But what did they do first? Talk. Christians talk a lot more than they work. A lot more book than there is work done. And their response, however, tells us that they heard the call. Neither could later say, "Oh, Dad, we didn't hear you." Because they did what? They talked. They responded. And by talk is represented our profession in the parable. What did they profess? And what did the first one say by his manner of life and by his profession? "I am not going to work in your vineyard. Lord, I'm not going to do it. Dad, I'm not going to do it." What did the second boy say? By his profession, "I go, sir." Not Dad. "I go, sir." Now, if we judged on what they said, who did the will of the Father? The second one. But what were they judged on? Not what they said, but what they did. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 7:21, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Do you see how Jesus is linking these two pieces of instruction? Let's look at the second boy first. For he represents at least six groups of Christians. The first group is the hypocrite who works to be seen. The hypocrite's son had no intentions of going and working in the vineyard, but he doesn't want others to know of his plan to disobey. He had heard the rudeness of his first brother, and he didn't want to be rude. So instead of being rude, he lied. He didn't want his father to feel bad, so he told his father what his father would want to hear. His answer is for the listener. He wanted to be judged favorably by men and God by what he said. He makes a show. There's a lot of activity, but there's no real work that comes out of it. You know, I've had children do that sometimes. They want me to know that they're doing what I've asked them to do, but they're not really. And so since they're not really doing it, and they're dawdling and they're playing around, they make a lot of noise, lest I might come down and inspect, is the work getting done? But this is the very opposite of how the work should be done. Ephesians 6:6, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." The hypocrite does apparently the will of God, but it's not from where? The heart. It's really eye service, men pleasing. But the second group of Christians that this son comprises are the self-deceived. This son thought he was working in the vineyard. They mistake partial obedience for obedience. They cannot differentiate the few good things that they do from what God actually wants them to do. These sons actually regard their faults as virtues. And they confuse doing their own will for doing the will of their father. It was King Saul who said in 1 Samuel 15:13, Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." The rich young ruler, he said in Matthew 19:20, "All these things have I kept from my youth." I go, sir. In this group are those who pray but don't obey. Notice this from Upward Look, page 22. What will it profit us to cherish pride of spirit and pray for humility? See, your prayers for humility don't help you a whit if you cherish pride. What will it profit to seek eagerly the friendship and applause of the world and pray for heavenly affections? I go, sir, but go not. Please, God, give it to me. What will it profit to indulge in passionate temper and unchristlike words and then ask for the meekness of Christ? This is not watching unto prayer. So the first group, hypocrites. The second group, self-deceived. But the third group are easily distracted. Perhaps this son actually got dressed and started toward the vineyard. But then there was a neighbor to talk to. And there were other things that caught his eye. Like the dog chasing rabbits, he was going to go to the vineyard, but he got distracted on his way there. Maybe he went to the vineyard and didn't really see any work that needed to be done. So he didn't work in the vineyard, he just went to the vineyard and hung out. 1 Kings 20:40, "As thy servant was busy here and there." Busy here and there, but not doing what he was told to do. Something was more interesting than his assigned task. He began but didn't continue. He became weary in well-doing. He fainted in the way. Galatians 5:7, "Ye did run well. Why? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Then there's the fourth group. The third group, easily distracted. The fourth group, unobservant. This son doesn't see what needs to be done. He can't look and see the leaves are wilted and the plants need watering. He doesn't connect the weather report of a coming freeze and realize the vines need to be covered and protected or they will die. He doesn't note the deep color of the grapes and see that they must be immediately picked or they're going to spoil on the vine. He doesn't see the early shoots of the weed that need to be pulled now or they'll affect the amount of the harvest. This son doesn't look to find something to do. He is content to feel it has all been done, to look over, he was there, and that there is nothing that's needed now. He doesn't know how to work, but doesn't seek instruction so he could learn. Like when my children were small and would come into the kitchen and didn't see that there was anything that needed to be picked up. But there's a fifth group, closely allied to the unobservant, is the slothful professed Christian. The slothful son didn't work in the vineyard because he was lazy. He blames circumstances for being unable to work. He excuses his slothfulness as being willing to do the work if he could. But perhaps it's too dangerous. There's a lion in the way. Proverbs 26:13. Or it's too cold, Proverbs 24:20. He will do it when it's convenient, when I have a convenient season, Acts 24:25. He knows better than God, who says, work today in the cold and in the danger. We wait because the circumstances are not quite right. It's not in season and out of season for Him. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. He's not willing to suffer the will of God. One night, Dwight Moody made an appeal in Chicago. It was a large crowd, but his eye was particularly attracted to one young man who he could see was deeply affected but didn't come forward. So after the appeal, and Dwight Moody made his way to the back to catch the boy before he came out, and he appealed to him directly, and the boy said, you know, I want to give my heart to the Lord, and I will do it, but just not tonight. I need to have business being picked up. A few weeks passed, and Dwight Moody met the fellow on the street. He was hurrying from business to business. His business had picked up, and Dwight said to him, he said, you know, you promised me you would give your heart to the Lord. And the boy says, yes, I promise, I will do it, but I can't do it right here on the street. Everybody would see me. This would be not a good place to do it. But I promise I will give my heart to the Lord. I'll do the will of my Father. And Dwight Moody, there was nothing else for him to do. Few more weeks passed and then months, and he got an urgent call to go visit from a parent that their child was dying and he needed to visit them. And he went across the Chicago area to the home of that boy. And there it was, that boy at death's door. And Dwight Moody pled with the boy, and there was no response. Finally, there was just a flicker, slight movement of the lips. And Dwight looked closely, listened carefully what was said. And all the boy could say before he died was, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I'm not saved. You see, the largest group the sun represents is the procrastinator. The procrastinator. This sun delayed. He may seem to have a great attitude because he intends to do it. This sun is going to get around to it, but not quite yet. He keeps saying he will do it, but it never gets done. He feels irritated that others are nagging him when they remind him of his responsibility. But the Bible calls this person a sluggard. Procrastination is what we do with something we really don't want to do. Procrastination is what we do when there's something we would rather do. Procrastination reveals our priorities. And this son did not seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things could be added unto him. I wanted to start back my exercise program when we moved back here. This was a week ago, last week. And so I was going to start it in the middle of the day. Going to start it, it was a little too cold. So I was going to do it when it was a little warmer. But of course I got busy. I was going to do it at 9 and then 10. 9 maybe, I've been too close to breakfast. And then 10. But at 10:10, I got a phone call. And I kept getting phone calls, and my time was past. The next day, I was going to do the exercise program, and I was going to do it, but then I was interested in working on this lecture that I was writing on peace in the home and family harmony, and I really shouldn't stop it right then in the middle. And I didn't start it that day. And then there was some stuff that needed organizing, and I told my wife, I will do it. I promise you, Sherry, I am going to get this organized. There's this box of stuff we have to go through, I've got to go through, and I'm going to do it. But I will do it right after we eat, because that's the time that I'm not supposed to be working on creative things with your mind, because the spirit of prophecy, and I want to follow the spirit of prophecy. You know how we rationalize. So I'll work on this before we eat, and then after we eat, then I will go to that box and organize, because that will be the proper time to do it. But unfortunately, right after we ate, there was a person that came over to the house, and we had to talk to that person. And so it was. Through the last week, not this week, but the week before, nothing that I meant to do got done. There are so many ways that people say, I go, sir, but never work in the vineyard, never do the will of God. Obedience involves going to the Father's vineyard, doing the work, and continuing to do the work until the day is over. And failing in any of these things is not going today and working in my vineyard. Let's briefly notice the first boy. I don't know why he decided he wouldn't work in the vineyard that day. Perhaps he was in school and facing a difficult test, and he felt that he needed to study more than work in the vineyard if he wanted to pass the test. Or perhaps he had work of his own he felt needed to be done instead of the master's work. Or maybe he had a headache. Or perhaps he was allergic to grape leaves. Maybe there was a party he wanted to go to. But whatever the reasons, he was selfishly indifferent to the needs of his father. For whatever reason, he felt he could not or would not work in the vineyard. But notice a key difference in the two boys, Matthew 21:29, the second part of verse 29. But afterwards, what? He regretted it and went. New King James. He repented, King James. The first boy regretted and went. The second boy never repented, never regretted, never went. Do you have some regrets in your life? The worst thing in the world is not your regrets. This boy had some regrets. But his regret led him to do the will of his father. And our regrets can lead us to do the same thing. If you have no regrets, you may be the second son, or perhaps no son at all. The Greek word for regret means to be remorseful, repentant, sorry, change our minds. The first boy found that his plans did not bring him happiness. He tasted of his own way and discovered its bitterness. He discovered by experience that the way of the transgressor is hard. Hard. Though it was later in the day, it was still the day. And he could still work in the vineyard. Jonah was like that first son. God called him to work in the vineyard in Nineveh. And he said, I am not going to do it. That's the Old Testament first boy. But afterwards, he regretted it. And he went. But oh, the storms of life he could have avoided. The problems he could have escaped. It never pays to say to our Father, I will not work in your vineyard. Because God's plan for our lives in the vineyard may seem to be the most difficult part of our life, but it would be, in His will, the happiest, the sweetest heaven on this earth, to do the will of the Father. Jesus told several stories of this father and his two sons. They give us more insight into this son and these boys. Jesus gave more information in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. The elder brother is the son who said, I go, sir, and went not. The prodigal son is the one who says, I will not, but regretted that decision. That son, that prodigal son, came back at the end of the day. He left because he dreaded the thought of working in his father's vineyard. He wanted to party, not work. So he left for a far country where he could party to his heart content, but he discovered he had to work in that far country. As he was working in the pig farm, hungry and miserable, he regretted his decision not to work that day in his father's vineyard. And at last he came to himself and decided if he had to work anyway, he would rather work in his father's vineyards in viticulture than in a smelly pig farm. He came back home really realizing how great his father was. The father he had left, and acknowledging he wasn't worthy to be called a son of that great father, he said, let me be a hired servant. Let me fill out your application for employment. I want to work in that vineyard. His father hadn't had to come to him. At last, he had gone to his father for work. This son had already experienced one surprise. That surprise that he had left his father to party, but discovered that he had to work. He was now to discover a second surprise. He came back home to work, but discovered he partied. You see, folk, the work that we refuse is actually the party of our life. The cross that we are afraid to lift is what would lift us. The cross that seems such a burden is what lifts all of our burdens. Amen. His brother, on the other hand, lost it all. He neither worked nor partied. Dear folk, the loving Father still calls today. The one who called Jonah, the one who called the prodigal son and the elder brother, still says, son, go today and work in my vineyard. He seeks you out and calls you. He seeks me out and calls me. He finds us doing this or that. But he calls us to work today in his vineyard. There is something for us to do in his vineyard today. What is the difference between the children of God who are doing his will and those who aren't doing his will? What does it hinge on? Those who go today and work in his vineyard. That's the difference. Even so, Matthew 18:14, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God is concerned about every plant in his vineyard. And he wants us tending the tender plants. Are you working in the vineyard seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Are you helping the other plants to grow? What are you doing? Do you know someone who is sick? It's wonderful to bring those requests for the church to pray for. But dear folk, if they're close by, have you gone to that person that's sick and prayed with them? When you go through line to purchase something at the store, are you so courteous that when you give them a tract, they'll want to read it because there's something different about your approach and your smile, something that makes them want to read your glow tract of what you're giving them? My wife carries around the little Bible promises on the bookmarks. She wants them to have something that they'll stick in a book and they'll always be reminded of. And as she is going through, maybe we're at Subway on a trip, she is so kind that when she comes to give them the tract, the little bookmark with the Bible promise, one for all the workers as she thanks them for what they've given to us, provided for us, they want to take it. Just working in the vineyard. What have we been called to do? 1 Peter 4:2. Every son, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of Christ, of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. That, dear folk, is working the vineyard. And for that, God says, go. Work today in my vineyard. Will you say, God, I will go and work in your vineyard, and then not go? Or will you say, God, I acknowledge that I haven't been working in your vineyard, but I don't like where I've been working. I'm ready for a different vineyard, a different venue, a different workmaster. I'm ready to work in your vineyard. If any little word of mine may make a dark life brighter, if any little song of mine may make a sad heart lighter, God help me, speak the helping word and sweeten it with singing, and drop it in some lonely vale to set the echoes ringing. If any little love of mine may make a hard life sweeter, if any little care of mine may make a friend's life the fleeter, God help me speak the helping word and sweeten it with singing, and drop it in some lonely vale to set the echoes ringing. If any little lift of mine may ease a toiler bending, God, give me love and care and strength. We live for Him by lending. God, help me speak the helping word and sweeten it with singing, and drop it in some lonely vale to set the echoes ringing. If that's your prayer, will you turn in your hymn books to hymn 359 and sing with me, hark the voice of Jesus calling. Who will go and work today? Fields are ripe and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Long and loud the Master calleth. Rich reward he offers free. Who will answer gladly, saying, here am I, send me, send me. We no longer want you to have to chase us down to give us our allotted task. The task that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. The task that will free us and use us to free others. No, Lord, today we, like the prodigal son, like the repentant or partially repentant Jonah, we want to be fully repentant. Say, Lord, where would you have us work in your vineyard today? I pray that you will help us with our strength, with our might, with our all. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, for going with us this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.